Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Diving back into it, 9 o'clock on a Thursday. Bob Fesco, Mac Morning, Dusty Likens with you on 96.5 The Fan. Everybody else now listening to Fesco and Dusty. Jeremy Fowler's out here tweeting. The Chiefs plan to activate Marquise Hollywood Brown off the reserve/injured list. His shoulder was the one that was the issue for Saturday's game versus Houston. Assuming everything continues trending positively this week, per sources.
Yeah, we told you that on Tuesday.
Brown looks to make his Chiefs debut after missing 4 months. So he is back, baby.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Yeah,
I'll go retweet that one. Yeah. I'll book him for later in the week.
Yeah. No, that's big, man. That's huge for the Chiefs. I mean, I know that people are like, well, he's not a wide receiver one. Okay, but what his skill set presents as a asset for this offense, that's a guy you can throw it, you know, 2 yards out to the left and give him a block and see what he can do.
Yeah, that's the cool thing about this is, you know, with the Mahomes situation right now and the offensive line situation the way that it is, how can we get the ball out of Patrick's hands as fast as we possibly can? Well, Hollywood Brown right there, little hitch route. Boom, hit him, go. Boom, hit him, go. You've got that on both sides of the ball right now where you can do that and utilize that speed. You can do that with Xavier Worthy as well and Travis Kelce. So I'm sure we're going to see a lot of short passes in this game. I think we're probably going to see some running in between the tackles in this game to try to neutralize those defensive ends. And so if I'm thinking about that, the Texans are thinking about that, they'll be ready for it. So we'll see how Kansas City counteracts it. But I like the fact that we finally get Hollywood Brown back into the lineup and see what he can do. We've been waiting since March for this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see what he can do with Patrick Mahomes and an Andy Reid offense, like you said. Ouch. Kramer texted us after that last segment and said, Brock Bowers is a wide receiver one for Vegas.
Yeah, he is.
And that guy's locked into Vegas, man.
Yeah.
Don't forget, Mac Carrera will join us at 9:15 here in studio until 10 a.m. So you brought up a question because tonight's game is Chargers versus Broncos, or Broncos at Chargers, I should say. So we get to see that beautiful SoFi Stadium that I'm so madly in love with. And I asked a question earlier. Would you rather have Bo Nix and Sean Payton moving forward with your franchise for the next 5 years? Or would you rather have Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert? Mac, what's your answer?
Give me Herbert and Harbaugh.
Okay, so I don't need to talk because I agree with you. Yeah, you take the opposite.
I'm taking the opposite. Okay. And it's not necessarily because of my, I don't want to say my love for Bo Nix, my liking for Bo Nix. It's really about how my impressions of the head coach, Sean Payton, have really changed. I thought for a long period of time, Sean Payton was just a coattail rider for Drew Brees down in New Orleans. And I always thought he was kind of an underachiever down in New Orleans. They only won that one Super Bowl. Now, we're speaking from, you know, looking at Tom Brady winning multiple Super Bowls and Patrick Mahomes winning multiple Super Bowls. And, you know, Peyton Manning did win multiple Super Bowls, but with two different teams. But that Drew Brees era in New Orleans only ended in one Super Bowl. And I always felt like, man, they really underachieved. I'll blame the head coach on that one. And so I wasn't a huge Sean Payton believer. And then he went to Denver. And last year, they were pretty good, right? They were pretty good. They beat us last year and almost beat us at home last year. Now, obviously, Mahomes had the flu, but hey, they still went out there and won. They're finding a way to navigate this unbelievable debt that they have with Russell Wilson and all that salary cap mess, you know, that's out there. They drafted, I believe, the best rookie quarterback right now in the NFL. We'll see more from Michael Penix in the next 3 weeks to see, you know, where he's on that scale. but they're just working well together. And so my impression of Sean Payton has changed. I do believe in Sean Payton now as a head coach. I always believed in Bo Nix as a quarterback in this league. And the two of them together are doing some really, really good things. And so I'm more impressed with them than I am with Harbaugh and with Justin Herbert. Herbert's got a body of work as well, you know, and Bo Nix is new. He's like that fresh piece of clay. You can mold him the way you want to. No bad habits and whatnot that you got to work out from other coaching regimes. And so I just really like that combination in Denver right now and scares the heck out of me.
I will say with the combination in Denver, I think they maybe have a higher floor than the one in LA. I think they'll be more steady for years to come with that 8-11 win range. But I think as far as ceiling's concerned and winning Super Bowls and competing for championships, I think you got to go with Harbaugh and Herbert, because the ceiling for Herbert as far as a player is to me, and we could, I know this is a separate discussion, but I think it goes along with the coach QB combo, is just Herbert's ceiling as a player is higher. And I think Harbaugh doesn't wear thin. Peyton, we've seen his act wear thin before. He's one of those whiz kids who could write up a great play. Once you start losing, that really wears thin. Harbaugh is a master motivator. He changed a culture that was in a desolate wasteland for the past 5 years in a matter of 6 months. And Herbert's turned into not just a new quarterback on the field, but a new guy. You know, he's running around, he's screaming, he's hitting his teammates in the back saying, hey, way to go, bro. You know, things like that we didn't see out of a quiet, more tame, timid Justin Herbert. So I'm going to go with Harbaugh and Herbert for the long run.
How long has Herbert been in this league? Now, is this his fifth year in the NFL?
I believe this is his fifth season.
So you mentioned his ceiling and all that stuff. Like, when do you have to realize it? Because I know, look, Patrick Mahomes is a different beast, but I'll look at Joe Burrow, I'll look at Josh Allen, I'll look at those guys that have had the postseason success. Now, obviously, not the Super Bowl for Josh Allen, but he's been in the postseason every year. He's won postseason games. The only person he's not been able to beat, obviously, is Patrick Mahomes. Justin Herbert's played in one game, and he blew a huge lead in that game. So when do we start saying, like, maybe he never will reach that ceiling? I feel like we give Justin Herbert, and by we, I say the collective NFL media, whatever you want to say, gives Justin Herbert a lot more leeway for being a quarterback in year five that really hasn't accomplished a lot. Like, when does he have to start doing the big game moments and winning those big games in the postseason? Or do we just not say, maybe he's just a very nice quarterback?
I think the deadline for me is after next season, because now you've got the team does not have enough talent. I think they're overperforming, and I think a lot of that is due to Harbaugh and Herbert. Once they get some talent, get a good draft in, second year with Jim Harbaugh, that's when it needs to happen. You need to make the playoffs. You need to win a big game and look good in it as well. So that to me is it. But I get you. I mean, the leash is long.
It is. It's for whatever reason, he seemingly has a longer leash than maybe anybody else we've seen in the last 20 years at that quarterback position.
Well, good.
Well, I was just saying it's situational too. You know, Brandon Staley was terrible. They fired whoever was before. Anthony Lynn.
Yeah, who they should have kept.
They should have kept.
They 100% should have kept Anthony Lynn, because I think he's a good coach, but what do I know, right?
I just think that Herbert gets a lot of criticism that's not deserved. I think coaching is huge. We have a topic that says coach quarterback. That's what we judge it on. Herbert's also, people forget, had a year where he threw for 5,000 yards, 38 touchdowns.
Whew.
He also has a year where he threw for 4,700 yards and 25 touchdowns. His numbers this year, 3,000 yards, 16 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He does know how to be 500 or better. He's done it 3 times. He's going to do it this year, and he's done it 2 other times. I think the problem with Herbert is that, again, he's had bad coaching, and he's been in a league with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, got to play Mahomes
twice.
I will say
the one thing that I need to see from Justin Herbert is that game where it's like over my dead body. Mm-hmm. He's got that talent. He's got that sort of thing. He's got that, what they say, makeup. He has that in him. The other thing that's impressive about Justin Herbert, he's been in the league 5 years, and he's a year and a half older than Bo Nix. He's 26.
Crazy.
Bo Nix is 24 and a half.
That's amazing.
And he's been in the league 5 years. So before we crown Bo Nix, unfortunately, we don't crown Justin Herbert. I just think that the problem with Justin Herbert is, like you said, what's the most important thing for a quarterback? Come in and get good early. The first time anybody saw Justin Herbert was against the Chiefs, and everybody went, oh, no, this guy might be a problem, because he played well in his first game against the Chiefs. What was our topic yesterday about Patrick Mahomes? He needs to throw 40 touchdowns a season. Mm-hmm. Those are his numbers. That's
how he came out of the gate. Justin Herbert put on a hell of a show in his first game against Patrick Mahomes. Everybody saw that, and then the bar was set that this is going to be that guy.
Not knowing that they were planning for another quarterback who got punctured in the lungs by his trainer by a needle.
Right.
So the whole game plan goes out the chute.
Right. And he was good that day. There's no question. Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Yeah. In that situation.
Got that coach fired. Because they're like, wait a minute. You had this guy on the bench the whole time and you were going to start Teddy? 4,500 passing yards, 29 touchdowns, and 10 interceptions is Justin Herbert's average per 17 games. Bo Nix this year, 29-72, 20 touchdowns, 11 picks. So Bo Nix, to his credit, is having a better year than Justin Herbert if you don't count. If you count interceptions, Bo Nix has thrown 11, but again, he's thrown 20 touchdowns as opposed to Justin Herbert's thrown 16, and he's thrown about 50 yards more than Justin Herbert. I'm juiced for this game tonight.
I'm excited, man. It's going to be good.
Our next guest is the Royals manager. His name is Matt Contrero. He brings in his lovely wife, Chris, as well, as they'll join us here for the next 45 minutes on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Hey, man.
Good morning. How do you do?
Hey, man.
Just want to talk about the boys in blue.
Hey,
now that you've been here a year, what's your favorite KCQ?
Hey, man.
What's new in the clubhouse, the bullpen, and the lineup, too?
Hey, man.
How was the road trip? Bob and Dusty want to know.
Hey, man.
What do you think of Slugger and FM radio?
All right, we're back here on 96.5 The Fan, Fesco and Dusty and Mac as well, joined by two special guests, Mac Trero, Chris Trero. Thanks for joining us in studio today. We appreciate the time. I know this is the holiday season, the off season. You could be doing so many more things right now, but yet here you are. So let's start off with the newlywed game. Bob didn't tell you that's what we were going to do. I'm kidding. Yeah. I'm kidding.
Oh, I was ready.
Don't challenge her.
What is Matt's favorite cookie during Christmas?
Oh, that would be his mother's chocolate chip cookie squares, the Blondies.
Did she nail it?
Yeah, that'd be an easy one. Yeah.
All right. What's his favorite Christmas movie?
Oh, A Christmas Story.
Really?
Two for two.
Oh, man. Okay. You and Mac together.
Mac's here.
Let's go, Q.
You don't like that one?
No. There's so many better ones,
They've been crapping on it this whole time,
that's a bone of contention, man. Yeah. Careful.
Nice meeting you guys. Have a good day.
We did show our kids Elf the other day for the first time. That's a tough one to not like either. Yeah. I mean, I love Elf, but I can't go wrong with A Christmas Story.
What about Home Alone?
Oh yeah! Oh, they love that.
Oh, they've
one.
Watched
yeah.
one through four.
Oh, have they?
Yeah. See, yeah. Three's underrated.
Yeah,
it's not the same they definitely kid, but get it's worse. They definitely get worse
yeah.
as they
for
go.
For sure.
One and two are really good. Somebody asked this morning on Twitter. They said, "Would you watch Home Alone if it was redone with an adult Kevin defending his house?"
Who comes up with that idea?
Somebody on Twitter, right?
Oh my God!
I think the answer is no.
No, you would not watch that one. What about Christmas Vacation? Would you watch that one?
Yeah,
that's a good.
That's
one too.
Yeah, that's a staple.
Yeah,
yeah.
Most years I dress as Cousin Eddie.
I don't think our kids are ready for that one yet, but we love that one.
Good.
One I hated as a kid that I watched, this is not that you need to know this or care, but like every year on Christmas Eve, the last thing I do is I make an old fashioned and I watch It's a Wonderful Life. And I cry every time.
Oh, sure. I don't know if that's going to resonate with the kiddos
It didn't resonate.
Maybe the old-fashioned.
Yeah,
though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your
kids have an old-fashioned.
Yeah, he'll be in bed soon. So let's talk. So we just saw Vegas is kind of loving you guys this year a little bit more than they did last year. I know you're not a gambling person, obviously, for reasons, but 82.5 is the Royals' win total this year. I'm taking the over, not because you're here, but I'm being honest with you. I like what you guys have done last year. it kind of made the way easier this year. You don't have to do so much. Obviously, you bring Waka back. Lugo's here. Reagan's comes back this year. Are you, I know it's such a long season, but are you like champion of the bit to get back? Or are you kind of enjoying your time right now?
Yeah, a little bit of both. I mean, you always, you keep your blood flowing a little bit with the off-season stuff. We have tons of conversations, tons of meetings, those kinds of things. And it's fun to stay in touch with the guys, but you also know they need their time to decompress, as do we. But when the, once Christmas hits, I mean, then it's, you know, it's here in no time. So
you guys are 98 days away from opening day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we look far more at the going to spring training, and that's coming up quick. But no, we definitely enjoy the off season. It's great to be around family and friends and all those kinds of things. But yeah, I mean, this is what we do, you know, and it's a 8 to 9 month on the field thing, hopefully. And, you know, so we're looking forward to getting back out there. We do like our team a lot, and, you know, hopefully there's still more improvements to come, but we do like our chances.
How much different was the offseason for you this year coming off a playoff appearance versus the prior year when you were new in town, you lost 100 games. Now you're king of the world, man.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, we got knocked out in the divisional round. So, like, you know, we want to be winning the last game of the year. But it's definitely different. You know, I mean, first of all, personally, it's a lot different. You, now we're here, we're established here. We really have a routine. Our kids love it. Mm-hmm. You know, Chris loves it here. Just doing little things. Like just the other day, we went to a high school basketball game. You know, like, all right, we're kind of know some people that do things. We're moving around, kind of feel like it's home finally. And that's a really nice feeling. Everybody's been super welcoming in the community. You know, but from a baseball standpoint, yeah, it's a lot nicer to come off a positive season than a negative season. Mm-hmm. You know, but again, we want to continue to grow that. We're not going to be satisfied with where we were.
Yeah. Chris, what about for you? How much better has it been coming off that winning season?
Oh, I'd say it's quite lovely. There's a little more warmth from the community, being recognized. Well, Q, not so much myself, which is fine with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, the momentum is there, the motivation, and just a lot of spirit. And, you know, I get a little jealous of those Chiefs because everybody's, I'm in a sea of red all the time.
Right.
So it was really nice to see some blue. And, community spirit.
The blue comes back fast. You're shaking your head and smiling, like, yeah. Immediately comes back as soon as this baseball. Because I do believe still, even with the successes of the Chiefs, this is a baseball town at heart. It always has been. And you see it, man. You guys started winning. People went to the games. The playoffs were packed. Everybody's talking about it, wearing their blue and whatnot. So you make a big impact when you do that. It has a nice residual effect on everybody.
Yeah, you know, some of the cool things that were sent to us, you know, throughout the course of the year, you see the fan footage from Power and Light when people are gathering there, or the,
yeah, that was cool.
We saw the really one cool thing from the Kansas City Symphony played Take Me Out to the Ball Game, and they had Chiefs or Royals gear on, and, you know, like things like that that touch different parts of the community. And I get, you know, really nice heartfelt notes from people that, you know, come to the office about, you know, it's been this many years, my dad and I, like all those kinds of things that are really cool to know that you had a hand in, but mm-hmm. also just to know that the community, that support is building, and they want that, and, you know, they want it back. And that, so it feels good to give them part of that.
I like the fact that you call him Q still, too. I think that's beautiful.
I do that for the listeners because he's not Q to me, but I figure people will be like, who is she talking about if I said Matt?
Yeah, so it's true.
It's Q today, gentlemen. Yeah. It's Q.
What's his name when he's in trouble?
Oh, Matt.
Well, okay.
Just Matt.
Yeah.
I got a cute name for him, but
what
nobody's
going
to. Okay. Didn't
Come
we talk
on.
About this last time?
I don't know. I don't know that we did, but Dusty's new, so he doesn't remember.
Dusty.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can call him Mickey. It's a real term of endearment with me.
Mickey.
And it's not a cute thing. It's her brother. There was an EA Sports cartoon or a Sega cartoon where the guy slides into third base, gets up, some woman waves at him in the stands, and he gets hit in the privates with a ball.
Mm.
And so she yells, "Hi, Mickey." And so he gets hit. He gets distracted. So that's where she came up with that. So it had nothing to do with, like, anything between the two of us. Her brother came up with it.
So maybe a story not worth telling.
No, it's hysterical. Like, so that's what her brother thinks of you, the guy that gets hit.
Yeah. 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 And this was probably 25 years ago, you know, that he came up with that.
Can't wait till I'm in the dugout and I say, "Hey, Mickey, you got Bobby in second today," and then see what Sam says to me after that happens.
Yeah.
Like, gives you that. Yeah. Like, we don't call him that.
Who the hell's Mickey, right?
Well, I guess you don't know him the way I do.
That's right, yeah.
No, so it is interesting. So, like, you said the season, I said it comes in 98 days, right? So, like, when does it really start for you? And I guess you as well, Chris, because you guys are into this together. Like, mm-hmm. It's a family thing, right? Like, when does it really start? You say after Christmas and boom, like,
well,
January 2nd?
I mean, you know, not in earnest. I mean, it really starts when you leave for spring training, you know. But once Christmas hits, it feels like things speed up. You know, the the clock speeds up a little bit getting ready for spring training. And, you know, we'll have Royals rally and all those kinds of things. And just, you know, visit some players. Those kinds of things happen in January. And just know that you got to get, you know, Paul Hoover and Vance, they get the spring training schedule going. And, you know, we start having those conversations about actual day-to-day planning. So that's when things really speed up. But when you hit the ground in Arizona is when it really gets going.
Yeah, that's the fun part. Yeah, I mean, spring training is a blast. Everybody's feeling good. Everybody's in a good mood out there.
It's so chill.
It really is.
The pace is fantastic.
It's the best.
The close proximity to all the action, can't beat it. We have really good friends that join us there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a great way to get the season started.
And I think you're right about the chill word, because it really is like, and I'm taking the family down this year for the first time, and they've never been. And so just to have that vibe of spring training, they're just so relaxed. I mean, you just kind of sit there and, you know, just kind of watch baseball and have a good time. I know you guys probably aren't that way, but like from a fan experience and having that opportunity, I think it's the best way to kind of experience baseball. You get up close with the players as well. Everybody's so gracious with the autographs. It's just the perfect, you know, opportunity for people to become fans.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, you think about the major league team and all that goes into that, but once minor league camp starts too and you have another 150 players out there, if you're a baseball fan and you can go all day, all night watching baseball, you can go to different facilities in close proximity around Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a baseball junkie, you want to go to spring training because, you know, or if you're trying to get somebody indoctrinated into baseball, go to spring training. You're going to see a lot of good stuff.
And I always tell people too, the best corner of the food in the universe is in spring training at 101 and Bell Road. You got a Whataburger, but In-N-Out and Chick-fil-A in the same parking lot. I mean, where else are you going to get that opportunity, right?
Jeez, no one's brought that up yet, but we'll have to explore that corner.
That's right. And a Whataburger's a little bit further down towards Surprise, but that is the best food corner in Arizona there.
I would assume that you would probably say Arizona to the answer to this question, but like last year that team was special. Like my dad and I, we grew up Royals fans going to games, season ticket holders, and he grew up in the 70s with the Yankee rivalry, and then of course now he's back. Like he can't stand Soto. Jazz Chisholm pisses him off, all that sort of stuff. He's like, I just hate those damn Yankees.
I like your father.
He's a good dude, yeah. He looks like Shooter McGavin, but has a heart of gold.
Huge parrot head.
Yeah, huge Buffett fan. But when did you kind of like know as a manager, like last year, like, okay, we got something here. Like we can go deep into the season and have a chance to play playoff baseball.
Well, I mean, you never know anything in this game, right? It changes so much day to day. But I really felt good in the offseason. As soon as we acquired Waka and Lugo and Will Smith and those guys that, you know, they had that playoff experience. They brought that confidence. They brought that vibe to mix with the Bobbies and Salvies and MJs and guys that, you know, we really feel highly about. But, you know, what really inspired me as a manager was when we hit the ground running in spring training, those guys said, like, point blank to me and to the media, like, we're done talking about last year. You know, that mm-hmm. had the guys that were coming in new, that had nothing to do with them. They weren't here. That wasn't their team. They didn't want to dwell on that. And that was like a stern message of like, all right, turn the page, let's go. And that was music to my ears because I certainly didn't want to keep talking about the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
So that was when I thought we had something. And, you know, when you do this job year after year, you have to have a little bit of a level of insanity that things can change quickly, because otherwise, why are you involved in it? You have to believe you're going to win every time you go out there, and that's a huge part of what those guys brought to the table.
Yeah, it was fun to watch it all kind of come together in the off season too. You're adding all these players, and like people are getting excited because it was really the first time we've seen the Royals be active in free agency.
Well, yeah, I don't know about that. You know, you guys have more of a history with that than the free agency, and that took a big commitment from Mr. Sherman. I mean, those are big dollars that we spent last year, and you know, free agency, but also locking up Bobby for the long term, which was a huge addition, not only for the team, but the community and the organization. That was a huge boost.
Mm-hmm.
So to have all those things come together, it made us feel really good about where we were going, and you know, we continue to ride that.
You mentioned John, and I think it's interesting because today we were just talking about, before you guys came in, the owner of the Jets, Woody Johnson, saying, well, we're not going to make a trade for Jerry Jeudy because his Madden rating was too low, right?
And he didn't even get hit in the nuts.
Yeah.
Well played, Dusty. Well played.
Thank you.
So he says that. What would you do if John goes, yeah, we can't make that move because his EA Sports rating? Like, you're laughing. Like, I mean, it's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard.
I wouldn't. I don't know if I would could imagine him saying that, one. And two, I mean, you know, in all seriousness, the way he goes about his business, the way that he helps support, you know, our vision, JJ's vision, is really second to none. You know, it's very... You guys know the whole story behind the ownership group, and everybody's invested in the city and mm-hmm. the community. And I think that sets the tone for how everything's done in the organization. So, yeah, I don't know if he'd play EA Sports or whatever, but actually, I'd kind of like to hear him say that. Just, or maybe on the flip side, we're going to get this guy because of that. Have that come out of his mouth.
No doubt. From the text line so far, Royals 33 Mickey jersey added to my Christmas list is the top text. I think it's funny.
Awesome.
She sent that.
I don't know. It's her number 91.
My phone is in the car.
Oh, hey, it's like a comedy show. It has to say locked up in the bag. So I think it's funny you say you didn't want to dwell on that, because I remember this last year, and I know you don't. You're a busy man. But you had won more games already in July that they had won before the All-Star game last week. And I was in the press conference, and I asked you, I was like, what's so much different about this team than last year? And kind of like in a dad tone, you were like, yeah, I don't really care about last season. And I knew at that point, and this is July, right? We're like halfway through the season. And that question kept coming up. And every time we'd hear it or somebody would bring it up, I'd look at Bob and be like, he hates this question. And I'm glad that you emphasized on that, because it is true. Like, I mean, I know everything is short-term memory in baseball. Like, even pitchers have that mentality. Like, yeah, last inning you give up two runs. One was a home run. We got seven more innings to go. Let that one go away. How much of this team is already over this past year and ready to go this year?
Yeah, I was just going to say that same thing. You know, regardless of the previous year's mm-hmm. result, we can't ride 24 into 25, right? I mean, this is a different team. It's going to have different players, different makeup. Every team is completely different. And what we have to do is concentrate on the day-to-day. We have to go, when we hit the ground in spring training, it'll be a refocus on every fundamental and amp that up even more, because we understand, and now these guys have lived playoff baseball, that every little bit counts. Mm-hmm. Like, every fine detail has to be examined and coached better and executed better. And all those things, that just raises your level. So I'm glad you brought that up, because those same questions that could be construed as positive this mm-hmm. time around are not going to have any effect on our 25 season, and we need to be able to turn the page.
Yeah, and I think that's what you have to do. Like, I mean, no matter how good last season was, it doesn't matter. Like, that already happened. You got to find a way to continue to get better and improve. And how close were you to signing Soto, did you say?
Right there. Yeah, we just lost out at the buzzer.
He didn't like his MLB show rating in outfield.
Yeah. John's like, hey, he's only really a two-tool player according to MLB The Show, so we're out on this guy, right?
That's a crazy contract. Can we realize that he's that close to $1 billion? Like, how long until that happens?
Who's going to be the first billion-dollar guy, too?
Contrary, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you look back at the, you know, I don't have other figures in front of me, but it hasn't really been that long since, like, everyone thought A-Rod's contract was ridiculous. And mm-hmm. then,
and that was $252
million. Yeah, and now you're looking at, you know, whatever that is.
Half $1 billion more.
Yeah, yeah, in that relatively short amount of time. I can't imagine that it's going to continue to go at that rate, because even the teams that are spending that amount of money, I don't know if they believe it's sustainable. You know, but if you're Steve Cohen and you have billions of dollars to your name, and you probably can make that stuff up in a short amount of time if you're in that business. But that's so foreign to me that I can't really speak on that. But I don't think that's a sustainable model for anybody except those teams.
Yeah, and I don't know that this is a sustainable model for baseball in general. Like, eventually something's got to give. Like, we can't have one team spending $750 million on one player and 29 other teams going, we're not even in the ballpark with this.
Yeah, again, that finance is definitely not my strong suit, so I don't know how that works. And that's going to be a collective thing with the ownership and players association and all those things that have to work that out. But that's... certainly we did just get edged at the last minute on that deal.
Yeah, that stinks. You should have given him that suite that he wanted. I mean, then you could have had him here in Kansas City.
Yeah, but that's the 96.5 suite, so we couldn't give that one up.
That's well right. Played. Yeah, nicely well done by you. What do you think of this golden bat rule that's been floated out there? Because I personally, I'm all for it, and if it doesn't work, then get rid of it after a season.
By the way, I'm against it.
He's against it, but I'm like, yeah, what the heck? All the other changes have been really good for baseball. The pitch clock has just been phenomenal. I've consumed more baseball since the pitch clock has come in years. It's been great. I'm binging baseball. I think it's kind of cool to have the opportunity, like Bobby leads off the ninth with a double. All right, ghost runner on second. Bobby, you're back up. Knock yourself in. Like, I think it could be fun.
I tend to disagree.
Yeah, because you get criticized for it the next day. Why did he use the golden bat this inning?
Yeah, criticism, aside, that's not really the issue. There's certain parts of the game that should continue to be the game, you know, and that's just where I haven't given it a whole lot of thought because I can't imagine that's anywhere close to coming to be. You know, looking at it from everybody has that perspective of, oh, Bobby can hit twice. That's great. But then on the other side, you're facing Soto twice. And, you know, I think a lot of things would have to work out in that case where you'd have to, you know, the three batter minimum. Can you change pitchers if that same guy's coming up again? I think that stimulates conversation about the game, and that's a positive, but I don't think I'd want to see that come in.
Yeah, because for a couple of days in the middle of football season, baseball dominated the discussion. And I think that's a good thing, you know?
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. I mean, I think, and that part might have been part of the reason that was brought up, you know, and that, I think that was during the GM meetings, if that came out at that time, you know, so they didn't, interestingly, it was not brought up at the winter meetings and any of the manager discussions. So I don't know why that was the case, but we did not get, you know, polled on that.
This is a stat that your wife might disagree with, but according to Craig Calcaterra, you are the 14th most attractive manager in baseball.
Oh, nice.
That's an improvement.
Well, she's a...
not in my book.
Give me your secrets.
Okay, just for the record, that is not in my book an improvement, okay. But I did laugh, what was it, like 4 years ago?
No, I've only done it two.
Okay. Right, two years ago, dead last.
Dead last.
Come on now.
Oh, man.
He goes on to say, I was going to say something like, not bad looking for an older fella.
Oh, that guy.
And then I looked and saw that he's 4 months younger than I am. Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah, you're not old.
Keep striving. Yeah, no. Yeah. But that is interesting. I look at this year moving forward. Obviously, a huge blow with Vinny Pasquantino last year. You don't have to tell too many secrets, but what did that kind of do to that dugout in that locker room when that happened? Because he's a huge leader.
Well, it was a blow, clearly, you know, but. You know, so we that night when we knew that he was going to be out for a while, you know, my mind's racing. I'm talking to JJ, talking to Bobby and Salvi and all those things. And they were the ones that came to me the next day. And Salvi, particularly, he's the captain of the team, said, I got this. I'm going to go talk to the guys. It wasn't something that he thought needed to be stressed for me. But basically, the message was, look, there isn't one person that we're going to plug into this spot that's going to take Vinny's spot in the lineup for numerous reasons, right? The production, the handedness, the positionality, all those kinds of things. But also just understanding, like, not one guy can come in and pick up that slack. So everybody just try to do the same thing that they've been doing. You know, Vinny had a ton of RBIs, and a lot of byproduct of that is that other guys were getting on base for him. So you can't drive in 100 runs if guys aren't on in front of you. So you know, we needed to have guys continue to do that. Now, we were in a really tough spot in the schedule at the time. We did take some losses on at that time of year. But he stayed around the team. His work ethic, his dedication to get back was inspiring to the guys as well. You know, giving credit to him on that night, he said, go deep into the playoffs and I'm going to work my butt off to get back. Now, we didn't even have to get deep into the playoffs for him to come back. He pushed the doctors, he pushed the trainers, he pushed himself physically to get back in 4 weeks when they had said it was going to be 6 to 8. You know, and he had an impact for us. He drove in, I think it was the first run of the playoffs.
Yeah.
He drove in for us in Baltimore. So, you know, he's an impact whether he's producing at a high level or not. And like you said, in the clubhouse, he's a tremendous presence.
Are you like during those playoff games? Because you brought Vinny up, and I'm picturing the play again in my mind. And we were sitting at Jefferson's watching the game on TV because obviously you guys were on the road. But the nerves in that bar on every pitch in the playoffs you could feel the tension. Like, how are you during a playoff game? Can you feel that tension as well? Because one mistake is so big in the postseason now.
Yeah, I mean they're amped up. The the level of focus goes up. You know, you try to keep that level of focus day in and day out through the season, but especially the way those games unfolded, they were all one-run games, or most of them were one-run games, especially the Baltimore games. There was no margin for error, 2-1 and 1-0. I mean, our pitchers just executed tremendously well. And we knew going into that series, you know, in a short series like that, everything's on the table. Every bullpen arm is available at all times. You know, they had Corbin Burns in game one, one of the best starters in the game. We obviously liked our starters as well with Reagans and Lugo. So we knew, we had a feeling those were going to be low scoring games. But yeah, the emotions are high. Every decision you try to have it planned, you thought through ahead of time. But in the moment, is it now? Is it next hitter? Is it next hitter? You know, so thinking those things through and working with the staff, it's fun. I mean, it's exhilarating. It's something that you want to be in all the time.
Coming up on the other side, we'll ask you a question about your biggest rival as a manager. I'll play some audio of John Gruden talking about his, which is Andy Reid. You'll want to hear it. It's pretty funny. We'll get to that on the other side with Matt, Chris, Bob, Dusty, and Mac, all here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Diving right back into a final segment on a Thursday, and then it's the greatest day of the week, Friday. Mac Cotrero, Chris Cotrero, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, and Mac Morey, all with you here on 96.5 The Fan. Once again, thank you very much, folks, for coming in today. We appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Mac, did you give them any of Momo's gooey butter cake?
I should, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
You guys have to have my mom's famous gooey butter cake. We'll get you some.
I don't know if I would eat buddy cake.
No, but
butter cake is good.
You can enjoy.
And they just watched Elf for the first time. Let's not force desserts on them as well. So I want to play this audio because John Gruden was on a podcast yesterday, and he talked about his biggest rival. And he talked about Andy Reid.
You know? Biggest rival coach out there. We're just like, I want to get his ass. Whether you guys went back and forth, who was your biggest rival?
It had to be Andy. You know, it had to be Andy Reid. We're on Mike Holmgren's staff in Green Bay. Andy played for Mike Holmgren at BYU. So he was kind of the teacher's pet, you know. Yeah. So we had this big board. Me and Mariucci and Andy Reid were young coaches at the time. And we would put the plays on the board with the formations. And these are the plays that we think should be in the game plan. And Holmgren would be doing his thing. He'd come in, he'd sit there and look at the board. And in a different color would be a new play. And Holmgren was always, he was always like, whose play is that? Andy goes, that's my play. That's 69 handoff solid. You get on the board and draw it. Mike would put it in. And Andy would like look at me and Mooch like, I'm smarter than you guys.
Yeah.
So Andy would get a play in the game plan, and it would be called. And it gained 6 yards or it gained 8 yards. And Andy would walk around the office all week like, that's some bitch.
That's awesome.
So now we're not playing good. And people are starting to get on Holmgren's ass a little bit. So we go into the room. There's all the plays. And there's this play called Fox 3, fullback slide, 58, all go Z search. Holmgren's like, what are those plays? I go, those are my two plays. And I had a cut up and I, well, you don't like our plays? Is that what your problem is? You don't want to run our, and he was on my ass, like yelling at me. So we go play the Bears on Halloween night. It's pouring down rain, the worst night in the history of football. 3rd and 2, early in the game, Holmgren calls red left, fake Fox 3, naked right, fullback slide. I swear to God, Brett Favre kept it, runs it in, longest touchdown run of his career, 36 yards on Monday Night Football. I'm on the sidelines. I'm not saying anything. That's my play. So listen, that's my play. This is a true story. Late in the game, we just need a first down, the game's over. And it's like 3rd and 14. And I had seen Dan Marino run an all go with a little search route. And I put that play in, and Sterling Sharp ran it better than Mark Clayton and Mark Duper ever ran it. Favre threw it like a 23-yard gain to ice again. That's my play too. So we get on the plane and Holmgren's sitting in the front with Ron Wolf, the GM, and I'm in the back. I'll never forget this. I got my beer and I'm drinking it. I'm thinking, that was the greatest day of my life. Holmgren turns around. He goes, hey, Gruber. Calls me Gruber. Hey, Gruber, come down here. I sit next to him. He goes, game ball. Hell of a job. I turn around. I walk back to my seat. I see Andy Reid and I go, game ball.
So do you have a manager that you go up against where you're like, you know, this guy and I have a history, or there's just somebody that you really just want to always outperform?
Nothing like that. I mean, I didn't come up on anybody's...
You don't have foxtrot, dig left, over right,
there
bull
was
rush.
Nudity. There was a reference to nudity in there. There was a naked ball or something.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Football plays are something I know nothing about. They hear that language, I'm like, how do they remember all that?
Scratching our heads right now.
That's the thing. It tells you how smart quarterbacks are, because they got to know what that means and then what everybody else is going to do on, like, thousands of those.
Yeah, that's insane. I mean, I coached on the same staff with Rocco Baldelli. We were teammates years ago, so I guess I'd like to, every time we play, and they're in our division, yeah. So I'd like to beat up on Rocco a little bit because we are friends, and that's fun to rub it into him if we can beat him. You know, and probably the guy that, you know, I have the most respect for, you know, the two guys are Kevin Cash and Terry Francona, and those guys will give it to me at any point. So
you disagree, Chris.
Oh, no, that's no, spot
they're,
on.
They're the best. I mean, and, you know.
What's Terry do to you?
What doesn't
well,
he do?
Well, he's relentless. I mean, he's like a 12-year-old with his sense of humor that he just, you know, he's relentless. 99% of it can't be said on the air. Yep. You know, and Cash doesn't fall far from that Tito tree either. So we all give it to each other, but not in that regard. We were never on the same staff like that, where you're fighting for plays to be called or whatever. But, you know, and there's also the part of it when you play against those guys that you do have the respect for, you don't want to match up with them as much. You want to beat other guys that you don't care about as much.
So did you send Baldelli a thank you note for collapsing at the end of the season?
Man, that was tough. I mean, you know, and everybody, our September was nothing to write home about either, you know, so you got to be careful in this game when you got to be humble and you got to understand that things can happen to you at the drop of a hat.
Well, you made a trade too with Tito's new team now with Cincinnati. I mean, surprised he's back in the game. I'm not. I don't know if people were, but he's great for baseball. I mean, he's just phenomenal for baseball. Love that guy. But you guys made a trade. You had Jonathan India over for Singer. How do you plan on using Jonathan India? What's your plans with him?
Yeah, well, he's got a track record of being a really good leadoff hitter in this game, and we know that that's something that we needed to address in the offseason. We did it quickly, which was nice. You know, it was tough to lose Brady. Brady was a great clubhouse guy, ate up a bunch of innings for us, was a really quality major league starter, and somebody that we and the organization cares deeply about. So that was a tough one, and ironically, we were talking about getting India last year during the season, and Brady was the one pushing him to us the most. They were college teammates, so the trade for those two guys, is that was a little unique. But India's been great in our conversations. You know, plan on using him at the top of the order, and where we play him is still going to be a developing situation. We, you know, we've talked through it with Massey about possibly playing outfield, India possibly playing second, third, left, you know, all those things. So we have to do some work on how that's going to shake out, but we see him as an everyday player.
Good problem to have, though, you know?
Great problem to have. And, you know, that's one of those things when you sit here in the offseason and look at the roster, oh, you know, they got this guy. How are you going to get at-bats for this guy? Well, it's very rarely a problem. Something happens. You know, guys, you know, they tend to find their way to certain roles. You know, injuries are going to be a part of it. You have to have enough depth because, as we know, it's 162 games. You can't pencil the same 9 guys in there and roll the whole season.
No doubt.
So, no spoiler alerts. Bobby going to hit second this year?
I think if we didn't hit Bobby second, there might be some, you know, people knocking on my door.
Right.
Yeah. So who's pitching opening day?
You had the whole rotation mapped out at this time
last year. Well, I got Kyle Wright as your 4. Lazy. I got Alec Marsh as your 5th. I would start Reagans on opening day. Then I'd go Lugo. Then I go Waka. Then I go Kyle Wright. Then I go Alec Marsh.
There you go.
Chris, you're shaking your head now.
No, I'm going. You might be out of a job, Q.
Stay as long as you like, please. Stay as long as you like. So this is interesting. Baseball manager, but football season, I don't know where you are with football. Like, what do you do during the football season? Do you get locked in? Do you watch most Sundays? Do you red zone?
No. I've never had red zone. No,
I'll give you my address. You can come over.
All right.
We'll get along. Trust me.
Me too.
Okay. We're Chiefs fans. Sure. I mean,
old fashions.
We're in on the Chiefs. I mean, it's hard. I think I might have mentioned this at another point, but like when we first got here, I went out to pick up food. It was a Friday, and I went out to pick up dinner, and I walked in the restaurant. I might have been the only guy without Chiefs or something red, and I was
the
like, "Wow, we are in, we are in it right
the
now."
Sea,
you know,
the
like
sea of red.
You know, and having come from Tampa when they were good, it still is a different feel here, and it really sweeps you up. And so we watch the games. I mean, we have them on, or I'm listening to them on the radio, whatever. But as far as like diving into the complete NFL schedule and all that, that is not me. I'm more of a college football fan, you know. So, but even so, at the end of a long baseball season, I don't commit 4 to 7 hours on a weekend to watch a bunch of football.
Great. Yeah, I don't blame you. You want to decompress a little bit. You're watching it though, Chris, right? You're dialed in.
Well, no, I just like to jump in because sometimes Q lacks, shall we say, enthusiasm. And today I'm particularly excited because right after this, we are going to be on the field for the Chiefs practice today. Oh. And yes, listeners, I am wearing red.
You okay. are. And you're wearing a Santa hat, too.
I am. Well, yeah. there's, it's,
flip the camera around, Dusty. Show the cues.
Sorry, Dad.
So are you guys going to like tell Andy what to do when it comes to plays and things like that?
If he needs that guidance.
Well, if he can play that play call back, I'll try to remember it and ask him if he remembers it.
I don't even know if I remember it. Even if you played it 15 times, I wouldn't remember
it. No chance, but Andy would remember that. I guarantee you Andy would remember something like that. Are you guys going to the game this weekend?
No, just going over to see a little bit of practice.
Nice. Well, have some fun with that. Let us know how Patrick looks. Would you text us the information?
let us know about that ankle. We appreciate it. Right.
Inside sources. Have a great holiday. We'll see you in spring training.
Thanks for being kind. As always, we tell you at the end of every show, go do something nice for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, week, month, or even their year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay kind and stay safe. Coming up next, Cody, Gold, and Drew from 10 to 2.
You want to pick some cards out here and see if you can.
That camera.